A preview of the final judgment. Overpowered with terror, the priests and rulers had fled from the temple court and from the searching glance that read their hearts. In this scene, Christ saw symbolized the dispersion of the whole Jewish nation for their wickedness and impenitence. Why did the priests flee? Why did they not stand their ground? He who commanded them to go was a carpenter's son, a poor Galilean. Why did they not resist him? Why leave their ill-acquired gain and flee at the command of one whose appearance was so humble? Christ spoke with the authority of a king, and in his appearance, and in the tone of his voice, there was that which they had no power to resist. At the word of command, they realized their true position as hypocrites and robbers. When divinity flashed through humanity, they felt as if before the throne of the eternal judge, with their sentence passed on them for time and eternity. For a time, many believed him to be the Messiah. The Holy Spirit flashed into their minds the utterances of the prophets concerning Christ. Would they yield to this conviction? Repent they would not. They knew they had been guilty of extortion. Because Christ discerned their thoughts, they hated him. His public rebuke was humiliating to their pride, and they were jealous of his growing influence with the people. They determined to challenge him as to the power by which he had driven them forth. Slowly and thoughtfully, but with hate in their hearts, they returned to the temple. What a change had taken place! When they fled, the poor remained behind, and these were now looking to Jesus, whose countenance expressed his love and sympathy. The people pressed into Christ's presence with urgent appeals, "Master, bless me." His ear heard every cry. All received attention. Everyone was healed of whatever disease he had. As the priests and temple officials witnessed this great work, what a revelation were the sounds that fell on their ears. The people were relating the story of the pain they had suffered, of disappointed hopes, painful days and sleepless nights. When hope seemed dead, Christ had healed them. The burden was so heavy, one said, "But I have found a helper. He is the Christ of God, and I will devote my life to his service." Parents said to their children, "He has saved your life, lift up your voice and praise him." Hope and gladness filled the hearts of children and youth, fathers and mothers, friends and spectators. They were restored soul and body, and they returned home proclaiming the love of Jesus. At the crucifixion of Christ, those who had been healed did not join in crying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Their sympathies were with Jesus, for they had felt his wonderful power. They knew him to be their Savior. They listened to the apostles, and they became agents of God's mercy and instruments of his salvation. The crowd that had fled from the temple court slowly drifted back after a time, but their faces expressed irresolution and timidity. They were convinced that in Jesus the prophecies concerning the Messiah were fulfilled. The sin of desecrating the temple rested, in a great degree, on the priests. By their arrangement, the court had been turned into a marketplace. The people were comparatively innocent. But the priests and rulers regarded Christ's mission as an innovation and questioned his right to interfere with what was permitted by the authorities of the temple. They were offended because the traffic had been interrupted, and they stifled the convictions of the Holy Spirit.